Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for W. Norman Greenway in his multinational broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event future.
Thank you, Velma, and how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God in John 8:56. We recently mentioned this particular verse in the closing part of another broadcast. I want to use it today in the opening of this one. Abram rejoiced to see my day. The Lord Jesus is the speaker here. Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now this is showing the witness of Christ to the Word of God, the witness of Christ to the inspiration of the Scriptures. So he says, Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abram was told that the Messiah was coming. Abram was told what the future would be. And the Lord told Abram by the Holy Spirit many, many things which have come to pass and cannot be denied. So the Lord Jesus said in this particular case, Abram rejoiced to see my day. Now how could Abram rejoice to see the day of Jesus Christ when Abram lived all of those centuries before Christ? You see, this had to be a miracle. This had to be a miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. This had to be a miracle of deity for this man Abram to see the coming of Jesus Christ, to see the coming of the Messiah. But that is what Jesus said. And if Jesus said it, of course, could not be wrong, because his word is the word of God. Now, besides speaking of Abram and saying that he rejoiced to see his day, John 5:46 gives us the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, Moses spoke of me. Moses wrote of me. So while Abram rejoiced to see his day, Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. Now how could Moses write of Jesus when he lived so many centuries before Jesus came into the world? How could he do that? He had to do it by the power of deity. He had to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, he had the illumination of the third person of the Trinity. He had the illumination of the Godhead, and he was able to write of the Lord Jesus Christ way back there, centuries before Christ came. So Jesus said, Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Moses wrote of me. And then in Matthew 22, verses 43 and 44, Jesus said, David called me Lord. David called me Lord. Now how could David, away back there in the Old Testament, those hundreds of years before Jesus came, call Jesus Lord when Jesus had not yet come? You see, my friends, the Old Testament and the New Testament are one, because there is one writer behind the many writers who did the writing, who did the putting down of these things. It was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who wrote down these things and said the Messiah was coming. So that Jesus said, Abram rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Moses wrote of me. David called me Lord. You see, Jesus testifies to these things. Now when it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, pas graphe and ustos, when all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be put out of business. And if we in this world do not believe the Scriptures, if we do not come to the Scriptures, how are we going to know anything of the future? How are we going to know anything of eternity if we do not come to the only book which tells us of eternity? You see, there is no hope in any other writings of the world. There is no hope in the books of the world concerning salvation. There is no hope in the books of the world concerning personal redemption, cleansing by blood, forgiveness of sins, total pardon, hope of resurrection, hope of living in the kingdom with Christ. None of these things are written in the books of the world by these authors who are only men or women and are not born of the Spirit of God and are not writing by inspiration of God. The Bible is the inspired word of God. And when we pick up this book and read these things, we are reading the very things that God wants us to know. So therefore, Abram rejoiced to see the day of Christ. Moses wrote of the coming of Christ. David called Christ the Lord. And then in Luke 24:27, and also verse 44, it says, "The words which were written concerning me." Now that's breaking up the sentence a little bit, but those three things, "the words which were written concerning me." So therefore, the very words that the men wrote in the Old Testament were written concerning Christ who came. Now Jesus said when they were writing of the Messiah, when they were writing of the seed of the woman, when they were writing about the prophetic one, they were writing about me. Well, now, of all of these great prophets of the Old Testament wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ and saw his day, how is it that men today cannot see the things which have been given? Why can't men today see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God? I wonder what is the matter with men. Now, for instance, take here, in Isaiah 40, verse 3, or we might even go to some of these other places, but let's take this one first. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Isaiah 43, let me read it again. This is the prophecy. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then Malachi 3:1, "I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And then Malachi 4:5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Now let's read here in the New Testament, Matthew the 3rd chapter and Luke the 3rd chapter. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Now you see, there is the prophecy, and there is the fulfillment of the prophecy. And there were hundreds of years between those two things. Now let's look here in Matthew 2:23. And going back to the thing connected with it, which we find here in Isaiah 9:1. Here it is, the forecast, the prophecy, the prediction. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when he afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Now that's Isaiah 9:1 and verse 2. Here's Isaiah 11:1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And then Hosea 11:1, "I called my son out of Egypt." And then Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem, out of thee shall he come forth." Now here are very, very definite prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. Now let's see in Matthew 2:23, it says, "He shall be called a Nazarene." He shall be called a Nazarene. Now the word for Nazarene is branch, a netzer. So therefore the prophecy was of this coming branch, which was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Take Matthew 2:14-15. "When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. Out of Egypt have I called my son." Well, didn't it say in Hosea 11:1, "I called my son out of Egypt"? You see, you have the prophecy, and then you have the fulfillment. The whole Bible is built this way. It is the infallible Word of God. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful Word. From the indestructible and infallible Word of God in Genesis 3:15, and we'll have several other scriptures today along this with this, Genesis 3:15. This is the prophecy in the beginning here of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center and the circumference of this entire Word of God, the Bible. And we have been speaking along this line that as these men in the Old Testament wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he himself said that they wrote of him, we were asking a question, why don't people believe the Bible? Why don't people turn to the Bible? Here is a book which gives a prediction and shows the fulfillment of that prediction. It makes a prophecy and shows the fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, for instance, in Genesis 3:15, the first book in the Bible, it speaks about the woman and her seed, not the seed of a man and a woman, but it speaks about the woman alone, and her seed. And it tells us that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Now, in Matthew 1:18, we find a very, very clear fulfillment of that fact when it says Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The child was not of her husband. The child was of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So that the Son of God was born by the power of the Spirit of God, and the child which was formed in the womb of Mary was by the power of God and not from a double seed. Now in Genesis 3:15, it said the single seed, the seed of the woman, shall bruise the serpent's head. And then it tells us in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 1 and verse 18, that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now take Galatians 3:16 over here in the New Testament. It speaks of this, to thy seed which is Christ. To thy seed which is Christ. And then in Galatians 3:19, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the seed which was prophesied way back there in Genesis 3:15. Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And to thy seed which is Christ, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now notice this prophecy in Genesis 12, going along a few chapters. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And in Galatians 3:16 in the New Testament, many, many centuries later, it says, now to Abram and his seed where the promise is made. You see what the Holy Spirit says in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit says in the New Testament. So therefore, the Bible is one book. It's an entire record. It is God's record for us. And if we don't pay attention to the record of God, how can we ever expect to see God? If we don't pay any attention to His Word now, how can we ever expect to live in eternity with Him? You see, this is the means of salvation. This is the means of evangelization. You and I, as Christians, must take the Word of God to other people. Because it is the Word of God that does the work. And the Holy Spirit works through the Word. So where you have this prophecy of the coming of the seed of the woman, you find the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where you have the prophecy of the seed of Abram, you find the fulfillment in the New Testament, and you find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take here, for instance, in 2 Samuel 7:8 and verse 12. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. You see, there's the seed spoken of again. There was the seed of Abram. There was the seed of the woman. Now here is the seed of David. Now notice here the fulfillment of that prophecy as the Holy Spirit records it in Romans 1, 1-3. The gospel of God it speaks of concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. You see, the seed of the woman came down into Abram, and the seed of the woman through Abram came down to David, and from David down to the Virgin Mary, and the Lord Jesus Christ was born of that seed of the woman, and born of that seed of Abram, and that seed of David. So therefore, when the Bible is spoken of as a prophetic book, there is no doubt of what is being spoken of. It is the great prophetic word. Now take here that verse which is so familiar to so many, Isaiah 7:14. The prophecy was, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a what? Just a child? No. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So therefore the prophecy given by the Holy Spirit was that a virgin would bear a son, and she would give him a certain name. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that prophecy, given away back there centuries before to Isaiah, you find here along with it Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. When it says us there, it is speaking about the seed of Abraham, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, Israel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now notice here in Luke 1:31 and also verse 34 and 35. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew it would have to be a miracle. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, shall come upon thee. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. So therefore the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as prophesied in the Bible, was to be a virgin birth. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was going to come in a very special manner upon the virgin, upon her womb, and produce there a body for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now in Matthew 1:18, it says, whereas his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, when she was engaged to this man, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then take Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So the prophecy was in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the fulfillment was that Mary did bring forth this son, and called his name Emmanuel. Now take Matthew 1:23. To fulfill this amazing prophecy of the birth of Christ, there had to be a biological miracle. So therefore, he said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. According to the word of God, these things took place, and this is always the way. May the Lord bless you as you study his wonderful word. From the indestructible and infallible word of God, going again today to several scriptures, but taking this one, Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, over 100 times in the Bible, it speaks about seed. And therefore, when it speaks about the seed of the woman, it has to be a very, very special seed which is being spoken of. Therefore, when it said in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, this had to be the conception of a particular kind of seed. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Here was the prophecy of a child coming and a son being given. And then we found the fulfillment of that in Luke 1:31 and 34 and 35. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. She was willing, very willing, to go through this experience. Now Huxley, the great scientist, said that as a scientific man, he could not reject Christianity on the ground of the virgin birth of Christ, as there were millions of such births in the lower forms of life. is that reason may declare that among humans what happened to Mary is impossible. However, Mary also had to learn that with God, nothing is impossible. Responding by faith to the divine revelation, the Virgin said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Now, maybe you have seen on television some of these virgin births of which Huxley was speaking. There wasn't any television in his day, but he was talking about the very fact in nature. And there are millions of such births in the lower forms of life, virgin births. So when people say, "I just cannot believe in the virgin birth of Christ," what is the matter with them? Well, they don't want to believe the Word of God, and they think they're smart by not believing in the virgin birth of the Son of God. But they're not smart at all, because even in nature, in certain places, there are virgin births. I've seen pictures of these things taking place, and I know from that idea what I am speaking about. So therefore, you must come to the Word of God if you are going to know anything about the Son of God. And where in Isaiah 49:1 it says, "The Lord hath called me from the womb," it is the miracle of God producing a body for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again in Isaiah 49:5, "The Lord formed me from the womb to be his servant." Christ was the servant of God. He was the suffering servant of Israel. And he said it was the Lord who formed me from the womb. It was the Lord of heaven who prepared this earthly body for me. And then in Jeremiah 31:32, there's quite a remarkable verse, I think. It says, "The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." A woman shall compass a man. The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. That is a prophecy and a picture of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Psalms 22:9, that wonderful 22nd Psalm, it says, "Thou art he that took me out of the womb." The Son is saying to the Father, "Thou art he that took me out of the womb." And along with Micah 5:3, "Until the time that she who hath travailed hath brought forth." So that wherever you look in the Bible concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to find the miraculous. He was the miracle one. It says, "His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Miracle." So therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is prophesied in Genesis 49, at the 10th verse. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come." The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. There was a particular time, a specified time, a very definite time for the Son of God to come into the world. He was to come through the Virgin. Now take Numbers 24:17. It says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall see him, but not now." There was to be a specified time for the coming of the Son of God into the world. Now take Daniel 9:25 and 26. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of a commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." There's a very, very definite prophecy. There's a very, very definite time. Take Malachi 3:1. "The Lord shall suddenly come to his temple." The Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Now let's see the fulfillment of that in Luke, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 7. "And it came to pass in those days she brought forth her firstborn son." And it came to pass in those days, those particular prophesied days, those very days which the Lord by the Holy Spirit said he would come in, he came in those very days. She brought forth her firstborn son. Now look at Luke 2:11 there. What did he say? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, it was a particular day, a particular time, a particular period, a prophesied time, a predicted time, and it was the Holy Spirit who said this would be. Now, when you come to Galatians, the fourth chapter, and verse 4, it gives us the terminus. It says when the fullness of the time was come. When the fullness of the time was come, God brought forth the Son made of a woman. So you see, there was a definite time, and there was a completion of the time. The Lord had promised that the Son would come, that the seed would come, that God would be manifest in the flesh, the Word would be made flesh and dwell among us, and when the fullness of the time was come, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Virgin, was born and was given that body. So therefore, you find very clearly a word here, that the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. That's in Haggai 2:7. Now look at Zechariah 11:13. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And look at Psalms 118:26. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now you see, this temple and this house of the Lord is mentioned many times in the Old Testament. Now where was it in the Bible? Matthew 21:14. Here is the fulfillment. And the blind and the lame came to him, that's Jesus the Messiah, in the temple, and he healed them. You see, the temple was prophesied, and the temple was built, and the Son of God came and was in the temple. And in that temple, he did the wonderful works of God. Take again here in Matthew 21:16. And the children crying in the temple, Hosanna! So therefore these things had their fulfillment. Jesus went into the temple of God. Matthew 21:12. Luke 2, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. Wherever you open the Bible, it bleeds. And wherever you open the Bible, you find the truth of the living Word of God. May the Lord bless you in your study of His wonderful Word.